Who's excited for the word this morning? Man. So I want to read a scripture for you guys. If you have your Bible, I want you to open up to Joshua chapter 6. And if you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen. And I want to read a scripture for you. And you probably know this story. And it says here in verse 1, it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, 'I have given you Jericho, its king and all the strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast of the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town.'" Verse 12, "Joshua got up early the next morning and the priests carried the ark of the Lord. The seven priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the ark. All of this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the second day, they did this again. They followed this pattern for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town 7 times. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast of their horns, Joshua commanded the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the town.' When the people heard the sound of the ram's horn," verse 20, "they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it." This morning, I want to speak into the topic of perseverance. How do we persevere through tough times when we can't see where God's trying to take us? How do we just keep going? And I want to speak that through a message that I've entitled, "Just Keep Moving." Just keep moving. Let's pray this morning. God, right now, I thank you, God, that we get to be a part of this incredible, incredible church called Vibe Church. God, I thank you for what you're doing in and through each and every one of us, God, that you've allowed us to build your kingdom, God. You are using people just like us and people just like me, God, to do some incredible things, God. I thank you, God. I could have been anywhere else, God. I didn't have to wake up breathing, God, but I woke up with breath. And the Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So I praise you right now, Jesus, God, in this place, God. We lift up your praises, God. We lift up your name, God, because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, as you find your seats this morning, why don't you find 5 or 6 people around you, give them a high five, and tell them, just keep moving. Just keep moving. Thank you, worship team. Just keep moving. Well, church, I'm excited to be here. I got to shout out my campus again, San Francisco. It is good to be here. We love you. Man, it was just 6 months ago that my wife and I, we moved from San Jose to San Francisco to lead that campus. And man, God is doing some incredible things in and through us. And I'm just glad I get to be a part of it. Like, thank you, God. I'm glad I get to be part of the ride. And so let me tell you, my wife and I, we've had an incredible marriage. We've been here in the Bay Area for 4 years, moved here for a job at Apple. Look at me now. Who would have known? But let me tell you, moved here 4 years ago, and 2 weeks ago, we celebrated our 4th-year wedding anniversary. Come on. Mama, I made it. I'm still here. But man, I'm telling you, I love every single thing that's happened in our marriage thus far. I want to show you a picture of my family. It's going to come up on the screen. And let me tell you, my wife, she's a beautiful wife. Look at that. Like, man, I'm married up. I love you, babe. I married up. I know. Thank you, Jesus. Prayers work. I prayed for a beautiful wife. God gave me one. They work. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a woman, you need to find a woman who can pray, preach, and prophesy. That's my wife. I love you. But I also want to show you a picture of my baby girl. Man, 3.5 years old. Man, strong. Killing the streets of San Francisco. 4 legs at a time. But I have an incredible, incredible family, and I'm thank God every single week for it. And my wife and I, we've had so many experiences since being here in the Bay. But I've realized that a lot of our experiences tend to center around the car. They do. When we first started dating, pretty much like 10 years ago, our first date was at the courthouse. You're like, man, what's going on? Did they fight each other? No, it was at the courthouse because my wife is a speed demon. She likes to speed. And so she got a speeding ticket in the middle of nowhere, Georgia. And so here we are. She's crying her heart out just to get out of that ticket. It's like, all right, cool. But moving here, when we moved here, my wife still never stopped speeding. And I remember one day she came home and, she called me. Because every time she calls me, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, did the car break down? Like, what's going on? She called me. She said, hey, babe, what's going on? I'm like, hey, babe, it's 9 o'clock. I'm just chilling. She said, okay, well, my engine light came on when I was on the way home. And I think I got a flat tire. I said, cool, all right, well, where you at? She said, well, I was at home, but, you know, I figured I could do it myself. So I drove back to the gas station, and the car pretty much, like, bailed out on my way to the gas station. It's like, wow, okay, well, where are you at now? She said, I'm at the gas station. I said, cool. But I was a little frustrated. I was like, oh, like, why do I got to get out of bed and put some clothes on? Like, why did I get married? But so bad. But I remember I wasn't so frustrated because, like, I had to go change a tire. I was frustrated because I didn't know how to change a tire. I'd actually never changed a tire. My dad taught me when I was a kid, but I'd actually never actually done it. And so step one, pull up YouTube, looked it up. Kids don't know what they got nowadays. So I looked it up, figured out, all right, cool, that's how you change the tire. You do that, you use that, turn that. Okay, cool, got it. Step two, I put a wife beater on and some baby oil because if I couldn't do the job, I could at least look the part. So I pulled up to the gas station. I'm like, hey, babe, what you need? I'm here. She said, change the tire. I said, all right, cool. So I popped the trunk, pulled out some tools. You know, I got the jack. It's called the jack, right? Got the jack. Jacked up the car, you know, it's getting up there. You know what I'm saying? All right, cool, I need a crowbar. Pull the crowbar. That's what you call it, right? Crowbar. Okay, cool. Pull the crowbar out, and I start taking the wheel off, one bolt at a time. And I remember I got three off. I'm like, cool, got this. Got to the fourth, muscles, I know that. Got to the fourth one, struggling. I'm like, God, like, why am I struggling out here? I just did like 10 push-ups beforehand. Like, this should just work with ease. So I'm just trying and trying. And you know that when you're struggling at something, there's always some people to look at you. Like, some of you are struggling parallel parking in the Bay Area. I don't understand. If you're wondering who that guy is on the side of the street laughing at you, that's me. But so this guy pulls up in his truck, this trucker guy, and he's like, hey, man, you need some help? I'm like, nah, man, I'm good. Cool. Just do you. I'll do me. So I'm still struggling. And he sees me struggling. He's like, hey, man, just like jump on it. Just jump. I'm like, huh, that was my first move. I was already doing that. Cool, thank you. And so I finally jump on it and finally get it off. But I'm telling you, like, all the way through, I just wanted to give up. And how many people know that when you're trying and trying and trying and the obstacles just seem too hard to get over, sometimes you just want to give up rather than keep going. Maybe you're sitting here and you've been married for a while and you've been believing that God will give you a child and you've been trying and trying and trying and nothing seems to happen. And you're like, God, I love the practice, but somehow I got to have a kid in all of this. And you've been trying and you're saying, God, I believe in my heart that you promised me a child, but right now I just feel like giving up. Or maybe you're here single and you've been single for a long time. And you're like, God, I've been going to weddings after weddings, and I'm tired of telling all my friends that Jesus is my boyfriend. It sounds good, but it's not that practical. And you know deep in your heart that God is preparing you for someone, but it feels like you just want to give up all hope. Or maybe you're sitting here online or in Oakland somewhere, and you're like, God, I've been sick, and I'm dealing with this sickness and disease. And you know in your heart that God has plans for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. But it feels like this disease is going to take you out. And you're like, God, I just feel like giving up hope. And I believe this morning that God sent me here on assignment to tell somebody that God is not done with you yet. He is the God of miracles and the God of breakthrough. And through him, walls have to fall down. So don't give up. Just keep on moving because there's a breakthrough on the other side of your faith. Just tap somebody next to you and tell them, just keep on moving. Just keep on moving. But it sounds good, right? But it's not always easy, especially when the distance between the promise seems to be getting bigger and bigger, and the wall standing in front of what we know God has called us to do seems way too impossible to overcome. However, what can be debilitating is not so much the wall or the obstacles, but what can really weaken our resolve is really what's on the other side of the wall. The unknown, the possibilities. What's possible if I step out into the unknown? What's possible if I leave my job to start this business that I know God is calling me to start? What's possible if I plant my roots in the Bay rather than move where it's cheaper because I know that God is calling me to have provision here in the Bay Area? And so I think the question is really, how do we keep moving when facing what seems impossible? how do we keep moving when facing what seems impossible? And I want you to write this down. There's strength in the process. There's strength in the process. You see, when we look at the story of the walls of Jericho, it's easy to focus on the miracle that happened that day, right? We know what happened. They walked around the walls fell down. Easy, right? However, it's very easy to miss what God was doing before the miracle. God was preparing them for breakthrough well before this moment at the wall, because in order for them to step into what God had promised them, there was a process that they needed to go through, a process of preparation, because you see, the promise always requires a process. How do we know this? Well, if it didn't, Joshua and the Israelites would have walked straight into Jericho and took exactly what was theirs. Like, hey, my God told me this is mine. I'm taking it. You see, if we were instead, God actually had them walk around the very thing that he promised them. You see, if we relate this to our lives, God will often have us walk around the things that we've been praying for and believing for, because there's something that he has to do within us before we can take possession of what he has for us. Where are my single people at? Come on, where you at? Hands up, come on. If you look right, you ain't got to swipe right. I'm trying to help you out here. You want to know why you single? Because you're not ready for it. You're not ready for it. Dating is actually for marriage, and marriage requires a whole lot of sacrifice. You got to give up a whole lot of stuff like closet space. But you're not ready for it. And this is exactly why God didn't allow them to walk straight into Jericho, because if he had given them what they wanted, they would have forgot who had gave it to them in the first place. And when tough times came, they wouldn't have called on God, and they would have tried to do things in their own strength. You see, this moment at the wall was 40 years in the making. 40 years they wandered the desert. 40 years they didn't know where God was trying to lead them. And some of us have been waiting for 1 week and we're already tired of waiting. But for 40 years, they wandered the desert. They didn't know what was on the other side of the desert. They didn't know what obstacles they would face, but God was with them every step of the way. When they needed water, God said, I'm going to give you water from a rock. When they needed to see at night, God said, I'm going to give you a pillar of fire, so I'm going to guide you through the night. When they needed food in the desert, God said, I'm going to give you the holy chicken from Chick-fil-A. And he gave them Chick-fil-A in the middle of the desert. You don't believe me? It's in the Bible. It's in the NIV. The Negro International Version. It's there. Just read it. But here's the thing. In the desert and at the wall, God wanted to show them the power in their obedience. This is what he says in Deuteronomy 11, verse 8. He said this, therefore, be careful to obey every command I'm giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take the land that you are about to enter, so that you may have the strength. You see, we need strength to overcome obstacles. We need strength to persevere. We need strength to build the faith to step into what we know God has called in our life. And it's through our obedience to the word that our lives become marked by strength. You see, there's a purpose in the process, and that purpose is strength. However, sometimes we'll get frustrated in the process and we'll completely miss out on what God had on our life. We'll start to take jobs that don't push us, motivate us, or do anything for us for life because it sounds good, right? We'll make decisions that look good, sound good, but it ain't good for us. We'll get in relationships with people that we know that we should not be in relationships with because we're like, God, I'm tired of waiting. Am I being real this morning, church? Come on, some of you already got your Instagram post ready. Come on, God is so good. Ain't he good? Won't he do it? But did God do it or did you do it? You see, here's what my Bible says. God is able to do, not me, but God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You see, there's something that God is trying to do in and through our life, and the ways of God is far greater than what we can do on our own. So what I'm trying to tell you today is just keep on loving people that don't love you back. Just keep on giving when it feels like you're giving to nothing. Just keep on serving when you feel like you don't have anything left within you, because there's something that God is trying to build within you right now before you can take possession of what he has for you. Come on, tap the person next to you and tell them, just keep on moving. Say it with your chest. I want you to write this next point down. Stop striving and start abiding. Stop striving and start abiding. You see, what about moving towards what is probable in life? How do you find the strength to keep moving when it's possible that your efforts might not be enough. When it's not so much about the impossible, but the probable. How do you keep fighting for that marriage when nothing seems to be working and the marriages in your family don't ever last? Is it really possible to fight this disease when everyone else is losing the same battle? You see, the likelihood that things may not turn out the way we desire is very debilitating. And for the Israelites, it was very probable that they would face opposition. They faced opposition when they fled from Egypt, and they faced opposition again here at the wall. But I realized in this moment that God was trying to teach them something incredible here at the wall. And this is what God said in Joshua 6. He said, "You and your fighting men should march around the town once for 6 days. You and your fighting men should march around the town once for 6 days." You see, God knew the power in numbers. There is strength. Warriors fans, stand up. There is strength in numbers. We are better together. This is why midweeks are so important, not because God needs them, but because we need them. You see, you need people in your life who are there through the ups and the downs. You need people to tell you, stop being dumb, because God did it before and he can do it again. But for reasons unknown, I don't understand this. For reasons unknown, we try to do life in our own strength. We just keep trying and trying, don't work. Next relationship, trying, trying, don't work. Next thing, trying, trying. We just keep trying. But here's the thing. Didn't Jesus come to stop us from doing this? So that we just stop striving and start abiding in him? The Bible says this. It says, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that works within us. So we don't have to keep trying to do things on our own, because we have the very same power of heaven working within us. This is why God had them walk around the wall, so that as they walked, they would stop looking at every obstacle. They would stop complaining. They would stop looking at what they didn't have, and they would start looking up to the one who was above every situation and every circumstance and can change anything that they were praying for. I want you to write this next point down. Worship precedes the breakthrough. Worship precedes the breakthrough. Joshua 6:20 says this: "When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it." You see, things change in worship. Worship sets an atmosphere of expectation. Time and time again in the Bible, we see worship preceding the very miracles of God. It says here in the wall, they shouted, and suddenly the walls fell down. You see, God was getting them in a rhythm where they would always bring worship before any battle. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And here we find the Israelites some years after the wall. And now they've been in Jericho for a while. Things are good. They have a king, King Jehoshaphat, and things are amazing. And they're loving it. But you know, in life, when you got something good, somebody's going to try to take it. And so the Moabites were like, "Ooh, we see the Israelites. We want some of that. We want to take that land back from them." And King Jehoshaphat is scared. He's like, "I don't know what we're going to do. The enemies are trying to attack me, God. And I don't feel like we have enough to overcome this battle." And he's complaining, and he's bringing in everybody, because sometimes you got to bring all your friends in so you can complain to them too. And he's bringing everybody. He's like, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And remember, sometimes God will surround you with some people in your life to remind you what God did before, to tell you that he can do it again. And there was somebody in the crowd with him, and they were like, "Hold up, King, check this out. The battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's." And at that moment, King Jehoshaphat probably realized how dumb he sounded. And so he said, "You know what? Everybody, we're already here. Look, we're gonna gather the worship team. We're gonna walk to the battle." And so he gathered the worship team. He said, "Hey, look, you're gonna lead, because the worship leaders lead you to a new place." And so he said, "Lead us to a place of victory." And so they started leading. And then he told everyone, "Hey, just follow the worship leaders. I'm gonna give you some instruments so that you can praise too." And so they start worshiping and start walking to the battlefield. This is weird, because you don't go to a battle without a sword. You go to a battle with a sword. And so they're marching. And let me tell you, their praises were actually the very weapon that they needed. And the Bible says this. It says, "On the way to the battle, as they began to lift their praises up, God went to the battle and destroyed their enemies." And here's the crazy part. It says when they got to the battlefield, the battle was already won. And what that tells me is that through everything in our life, we just need to bring the worship of God. We're like, "God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to let my worship precede the breakthrough. There's something that God is trying to do in and through worship. Trying to raise your expectation because he can't exceed what you first don't expect. I told you I've been in San Francisco for a couple months now, and a couple weeks ago I was coming from the gym. Shout out to Alan Hahn, our San Francisco production director, aka my gym coach. And I was coming from the gym, and you know when you're coming from the gym, you're feeling real good. And you're like, man, I could take over the world. And so I step home and I do the first thing that everybody probably does. I look in the mirror. So I go to the mirror and I'm checking myself out. I'm like, ooh, I see it. Muscles, muscles on muscles on muscles. And so I'm looking at myself and I'm checking my pecs out and I feel something. I check here and I'm like, man, this is weird. It feels a little different. Said, okay, maybe I was just lifting a little bit too much that day. So I let life go on, and 2 weeks later, it's still there. This lump is still there. And I remember I was like, all right, I need to call the doctor. And so I called the doctor. I work at Apple. I got to use my health insurance. This is for my wife. She doesn't use it. But I said, all right. So I went to the doctor and I step into the doctor's office and telling her what's going on. And she's checking me out. And she says, man, I don't even know what's going on. I don't know what that is. And she asked me a question. She said, what's the history of cancer in your family? I was like, that's a really weird question to ask. And so I called my brother because he's been dealing with cancer for the last couple years, and I knew he would know the history. And so I called him, and let me tell you, it was like a laundry list of cancer. My uncles, my aunts, my grandfather, all these people who were dealing with sickness and couldn't even seem to get over it. And I was a little bit scared. And so my doctor said, hey, look, we're going to have you go check out a radiologist. They're going to check you out, and we're going to get more results. And I remember going home and telling my wife this, and she was like, how do you feel? I said, man, I've never been this scared in my life. I feel like I've been given everything, God, but it feels like something's trying to take me out. And so I go to the radiologist and I walk in, and my doctor had actually scheduled a ultrasound. And I walk in and the doctor's like, all right, cool. Well, your doctor ordered two tests. The first test is a mammogram. And it's like, hold up. I didn't see that on the fine print. And let me tell you, I got 100% respect for every single woman in this building, because the doctor was putting my chest in ways that it should not have been. She was like, got you, squeeze. I was like, if I wasn't hurt before, I'm hurting now. And so they did that test, and she said, hey, in a few minutes, we're gonna do the ultrasound. And I lay down on the table, and the doctor performs the ultrasound, and she's not saying anything at all through this moment. And she looks at me and she says, hey, look, we've got some results, but we're going to send it to your doctor and she's going to tell you what's going on. And man, let me tell you, that was probably the scariest moment in my life, because I didn't know what was going on. And I went home and my mom is calling me. Terry's mom is calling me. And Terry's like, hey, what's going on, Rob? Did you get any results? And I'm like, look, babe, like, let me tell you, I'm super stressed right now because I have no idea what's going to happen right now. I've never been this scared. I'm a guy who likes to laugh a lot, but right now I'm not laughing because things don't look good. And I remember that was the same day as the Hub. How many people have ever been to the Hub? And if you're wondering what the Hub is, it's our team night where every location comes together and we worship the Lord. I was like, God, you're funny. We're gonna worship right now, okay? And so I remember I was sitting right here in the front. And Pastor Adam and Kira, they're right here, and they're excited because this is literally the fulfillment of a vision. 5 years ago, they were dreaming, and they had a vision for five campuses, and now we're about to launch five campuses, a fifth campus in Rome, and here we are worshiping, and this was actually our worship night to do a live worship recording for our very first Vive Worship album. And I'm like, man, God, you're doing some incredible things in and through this church. Thank you, Jesus. And I look to my left and the youth, they're standing there and they're so excited. They're just full, like Pastor Adam Hahn said, they just lit for no reason. And I'm just like, God, like all these people got faith building within them right now, God. But right now I feel less of faith, God. I feel straight hopeless. And I remember we were singing this song called Here Is in Heaven. And it talks about the promises of God. And I remember, said this, spoke and you're not done speaking. You are moving here and now.
Truth is roaring, ground is breaking. At your word, we hear the sound.
And I remember at that moment, God was speaking something within me, because he was trying to remind me that the Israelites walked around the wall, but at some point the walls fell down. And I remember I walked out the building and I walked into the auditorium and I ran into Nirvana, and she's Maremi's mother. She's one of our youth parents, and she's like, "Pastor Rob, how's it going?" And I'm like, "Man, things aren't good. Went to the doctor this morning and things aren't looking really good." And I remember she prayed for me. She put her hand on my chest and she spoke so many things within me at that moment. And I'm telling you, if you ever need prayer for anything, find you a Nigerian woman. They will speak demons out of you. And I remember, here's what I heard in that moment. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And I decided that I was going to give everything to him in that moment. Anything that I was dealing with, God, maybe I felt like I was just giving everything, God. I've given you my talents. I've given you my time, God. I moved to San Francisco, God, and it feels like none of that was worth it. But God said, just give it to me and the miracle will come. And I remember, I gave it to him. I went through life, went back to work, kept on giving. I actually started giving more, started serving more. Youth camp, youth ministry, spent all my time doing everything that I could to not focus on this thing, because I knew God was preparing me for something. And I remember I came home one day, opened up the mailbox, pulled a letter out, and it said this in big bold letters: "Congratulations, you do not have cancer." And let me tell you, my neighbors probably thought I was crazy, because I went to my backyard and I was screaming for joy. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are the God of fear. But check this out. Sometimes you don't know if the miracle really happened, so you gotta check yourself. And so I started feeling my chest. I started checking for lumps, and nothing was there. Because what God told me was that moment was, greater is he who is in me than anything that can come against me. No sickness, no desire, no fear, no anxiety, no nothing could separate me from the love of Jesus. Nothing was too impossible for my God to overcome. And so I don't know who this word is for this morning, but there's somebody online, there's somebody here in Palo Alto, there's somebody in any campus that we have here that is waiting for a miracle. And I'm here to tell you that the breakthrough is here to come. If you just keep moving, if you just keep moving, there's a breakthrough, there's a miracle on the other side of your faith. Come on.